I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
It's an incredible feeling. Seeing that putt drop on 18 was unbelievable.
Repeating as champion is one of sport's most difficult and revered achievements. English golfer Tyrrell Hatton did just that. Wait, isn't that a repeat of the intro for last week's program? It is! And Hatton has won again. After defending his first career title at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship at St. Andrews last week, he made a final round charge to finish at 21 under par and win the Italian Open.
It's sort of crazy to think about. It's amazing to win one, but, you know, to win back-to-back and defend in 2 weeks is unbelievable.
Seemingly out of contention on the final day when everyone seemed to be scoring low, Hatton reeled off 5 birdies in the last 7 holes, including draining a nearly 7-meter-long putt on the last green.
I was fighting myself, trying to stay patient, and, you know, JB, my caddy, was saying, you know, good things will come. Although I found it hard to believe, I tried to stay patient as good as I can, and in the end, I guess I got my reward.
Like last week, Hatton edged English compatriot Ross Fisher, this time by one shot.
It's obviously great to play 2 weeks back-to-back and be in contention and be playing some of the best golf of my life.
With Fisher at 20 under par was Kiradek Afabonarat of Thailand, who briefly led the final round.
I was doing my great effort to be on the top of the leaderboard for a while, and then just a bad mistake on 16, make 6, one single doubles, and just get the trophy away from me.
Afabonarat was pleased with his play.
I've been playing solid golf for all days, 4 rounds of golf, and the birdie on 17 was the one of the best shots I ever hit. Overall, still tie second, still happy with the result.
And with winning, Hatton's celebration was a little sweeter.
Happy 26th birthday present to me.
A stunning 2-1 loss to Trinidad and Tobago has left the U.S. men's national team out of football's World Cup.
I feel like we've let ourselves down. I feel like we've let our fans and everybody who supports us back home down. There's not a whole lot to say.
Midfielder Michael Bradley sharing his thoughts after the game in Trinidad. Everyone, including United States Soccer Federation President Sunil Gulati, thought the United States would have a place in the upcoming World Cup in Russia.
We certainly expected to qualify throughout the process, and especially after Friday night, so it's a huge disappointment for everybody.
U.S. defender Omar Gonzalez felt the weight of scoring an own goal, but realized the team as a whole was just overwhelmed.
We couldn't get close to them in the midfield. We couldn't hold balls up top. The unfortunate goal that I put in, not getting close to enough to them when they hit that shot that went over Tim Howard. The list goes on. We just weren't sharp enough. We weren't there today.
So where to from here? The U.S. men will be back in action next month, playing a friendly against host Portugal. And they will play without coach Bruce Arena, who resigned after missing the World Cup. Arena says the U.S. team and supporting system remains intact and in good shape.
Nothing has to change. To make any kind of crazy changes, I think, would be foolish. We're building a good system in our professional league. We have players playing abroad of some quality. There's enough there. There's no excuses for us not qualifying for the World Cup.
Bruce Arena has a point. The U.S. under-17 national team, stocked with some of the hottest prospects in U.S. soccer history, is flying high at the U-17 World Cup in India. Timothy Weah led the team to the quarterfinals with a hat trick in a runaway 5-0 win over Paraguay. Weah's 3 goals was the first hat trick by any U.S. player in the knockout stage of a World Cup at any level. And despite missing the World Cup in Russia, the U.S. men's national team still moved up one place in the world rankings, to number 27, thanks to an earlier 4-0 win over Panama.
I think there's tremendous momentum around the sport of basketball right now in Japan.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, fresh off a few preseason games in China between the Golden State Warriors and Minnesota Timberwolves. The NBA is also building its presence in Japan with a new $225 million deal with the Japanese tech company Rakuten.
We see that many more young people are playing the game of basketball here as well. Basketball is a very popular sport on social media.
Rakuten has more than 900 million users, and has been in the top 30 of Forbes' most innovative companies since 2012. It will not only become the NBA's exclusive distribution partner in Japan for all live games, but also joins the league's list of global marketing partners. Silver says part of that marketing means playing some NBA games in Japan.
There's a lot more to sport than just the playing of the game. It brings cultures together. And I think even in terms of U.S. and Japan relationships, it's very important for goodwill that teams travel to Japan as well.
Commissioner Silver is excited to watch basketball grow in Japan, especially with a big tournament coming to Tokyo in 3 years.
I attended the World Cup of Basketball when it took place here in Japan, and I look forward to returning for the Olympic competition here as well, where basketball is always one of the most popular sports in the Summer Olympics. So there's no question that playing games here on Japanese soil is a true priority.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.